Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Welcome to this special series on the future of farmland in Northumberland County. I'm your host, Robert Washburn. There are 840 farms in Northumberland County. The vast majority are prime agriculture land. That is a designation that ranks these areas as best for growing crops that feed us. Yet these lands are under threat, and that has many people in Northumberland worried, especially farmers. On July 29th, about 100 people gathered at the Best Western in Coburg to listen to five panelists. They outlined the challenges facing those wishing to protect farmland in Northumberland County. The event was organized by a group of residents and farmers known as the Northumberland Rural Coalition. The event was recorded live by Northumberland 89.7 FM. Over the next few weeks, we will be presenting the speakers in a five-part series. If you care about the food on your table, this series will give you food for thought. Our speaker this week is Paul Burnham, a local farmer and a director with the Northumberland Federation of Agriculture. Here is Alan Crothers, the forum chair and president of the Northumberland Federation of Agriculture, giving the introduction.
The next speaker is Paul Burnham. He's on my right hand, right here. Paul was born and raised in a family farm just outside of Coburg and attended the Ontario Agricultural College at the University of Guelph, graduating with a Bachelor of Science in Agriculture, majoring in crop science. He married his wife Anne in 1978, and they have four children. One of them is here today. All of whom are involved in the enterprise on the farm. Paul is also a long-term director of the Northumberland Federation of Agriculture. Paul has said, agriculture is our life, and we believe in providing educational opportunities where possible so people develop an awareness of where their food comes from and how it is produced. So I'll turn the floor over to Paul.
Thank you, Alan. I'm detecting I'm in a pretty friendly crowd here today. So I've thought a lot about this speech over the last few days, and it's gone over a few revisions, and I've spoken a lot of various things. Some people have heard me speak before, and this is probably one of the most important speeches I'm ever going to give, because this topic is going to affect everyone and everyone's families in the future. So I think if everybody takes all those facts down, the chance to comment on various laws, I think it's very important. And the fact that we've been given a lot of power back to the municipalities to develop their plans, maybe that's our local opportunity to affect change. Anyway, I better stick to the script because there's a lot of points here I want to make. So much of what I will talk about today are my own comments. I am with the local Federation of Agriculture, but I didn't have them read my speech before I'm talking, so I'll let them off the hook. Another disclaimer to my talk, you've seen the commercials. All of a sudden there's a new drug on the market that cures some ailment of the day. But the use of this drug may cause nausea, vomiting, and abdominal pain and or death. Well, I would hope the disclaimer to my talk, and certainly for this gathering, might read something like, warning, attending this discussion will cause discomfort. It may lead to a tingling in your bottom caused by a fire being lit beneath it. You may see light bulb icons appear above your head in cartoon balloons, and subsequent action may lead to the real change in the future of humanity. Okay, maybe that's going a bit too far. But anyway, thanks for attending. It's good to know that preserving farmland is forefront on the minds of many people here today. So my awakening to the concept of disappearing farms started in high school. We had a teacher called Jerry Quinlan, and he's still around. He's still a good customer of ours. He taught grade 12 geography, and he alerted us to the problem of the Niagara Fruit Belt. And this is the area between where Lake Ontario overlaps Lake Erie. There's quite a microclimate in there that's moderated by the lakes, and we can grow peaches, cherries, nectarines, and all those delicious things that we can't really grow here because we're too cold. So pressure from developers at that time was causing this land to disappear. And it was a shame, and he wanted us to be aware of that, and I, being a farmer, it really struck a chord with me. There was some band-aid protection offered to this area, provided by the government of the day, but development, I was just down there this week, there's still development continuing in that area. And I think if you look into our brief history of North America, very little has been done by any government, that doesn't matter what color it is, in the area of farmland preservation. So why should we preserve farmland here in Northumberland, and indeed in Ontario? And a lot of the comments I'm making are based on Ontario as a whole, but can be narrowed down to Northumberland too. Agriculture is the second largest industry in Ontario after the auto industry. Its economic engine is the great recycler. Crops are grown, milk is produced, meat finds its way to your grocery shelf. The food grown in Ontario is paid for by you, the consumer. Money goes into the farmer's pocket, but not for long. I see some nodding heads out there. There's some farmers here. The money slips out of the other pocket and back into the local economy. We are big time spenders. We need to purchase the inputs for our farms from local suppliers, seed, fertilizer, animal feed, and tractors. Really big tractors. Some people even buy red tractors. And this is a great example of a cycling economy. Probably a more important reason overall to save farmland is food security and food sovereignty. Food security means that we have an adequate supply of food to feed our population, and we have control over the production of this food that we eat. The sovereignty deals with the regulations and protocol of how our crops are grown and how our animals are treated. It ensures humane treatment of the animals to provide us with meat, milk, eggs, and all those other protein-rich parts of our diet. Crop production is also regulated to ensure our food safety and to protect the environment. If we lose this ability to produce our own food, we lose that control. Instead, we'll have to rely on foreign sources for our nourishment. Canada currently produces some of the best, safest food in the world and has some of the most stringent regulations regarding the treatment of our animals and land. Relying on outside sources of food mean that we cannot dictate these safety regulations. We are dependent on other players and fall victim to buying from unknown sources with unknown protocols. That's one of the central issues in my mind. But when you fly over or drive around the province and even the continent, you look out and say, wow, there's a lot of farms out there. What's our problem? How can there be a food issue with all this land? Well, there isn't a food issue right now. Not yet. Unless you were flying to Moosonee, you won't see that Ontario's farm landscape, except for the odd pocket here and there in the north, ends pretty much at Highway 7. Ontario is a vast province, but according to Stats Canada, only 5% of our landmass is suitable for agriculture. And this 5% is located where the greatest development pressure is. The Golden Horseshoe, basically the Niagara region around to where pretty much where we are, and urban centers to the west are like around London and Woodstock. It's no secret that when we drive across Toronto, we see the greatest loss of land. Current estimates, as stated many places, are that we are losing 319 acres of farmland per day, and that's just in Ontario. 319 acres. How big is that? 214 football fields or 40 Rogers centers. Maybe let's look at the food potential of that land. 319 acres of wheat would make about 930,000 loaves of bread. That's almost 1 million loaves of bread in that area. 319 acres of corn fed to beef cattle will produce 256,000 pounds of beef. 390 acres of soybeans will produce 75,000 liters of cooking oil. Yay, Crisco. All this potential is lost every day in Ontario. Every day we lose that 319 acres, all that potential for that food production. We've just given it away to housing and commercial and industrial. So let's look at this a different way. Ontario's total area is 260, I'm sorry about all these numbers, but Ontario's total area is 266 million acres. Stats Canada, again, tells us that 5% of that is arable or farmable land. That means that we have 13.3 million acres of farmland. Losing 319 acres a day gives us 40,752 days to count down to zero. Divide that by 365 days a year, and that's 111. So in 111 years, our farmland in Ontario will be gone, assuming current loss rates. 111 years. Okay, now we're into our grandchildren's. No, our great-grandchildren, probably. And this should bring the discomfort I talked about earlier, because 111 years is not that far away. No farmland in Ontario is protected. None. The Green Belt was an attempt in directing development away from farmland and sensitive environmental areas. But as we've seen in recent government proposals, it will continue to be whittled away as developers push to have their land assets converted into cash. Note I say developers. Land speculators and developers, more often than not, direct our growth. Their huge investment in land fuels their push to influence local planners and politicians. The best made plans made by our government sometimes go by the wayside as a result. If farmland was truly protected, developers would hesitate before offering farmers unheard of riches for their land. Today's farmers are trusted with the land and can resist development only for a time. Farming is not an easy occupation. As time passes, less and less farms are passed to the next generation. The initial capital cost to start a farm are not for the weak of heart. We have land, we have equipment, we have quotas, we have livestock. Competition for land by city dwellers moving into the rural communities and developers looking for the next subdivision inflates the cost of land and makes most farmers think twice before expanding. So what happens when a financial windfall presents itself to the farmer who may be at the end of his working career and has no successors? That's not me, I've got lots of successors, interested in taking over the family business. In order for farms to continue to be rolled over to the new farm owners, the financial outlook has to be lucrative. And I'm sorry to say that to anyone out there buying food, all of us, but food prices will have to keep pace with the inflation pressures of other parts of the economy. Income from the farm has to provide a comfortable income during the career years of the farmer, with enough left over to invest in a retirement fund not related to selling his land to developers. Current planning policies in the province direct development to growth areas, those areas basically around the urban centers. This is supposed to preserve farmland. I've been told that and heard that many times. It doesn't. It focuses development around the boundaries of these centers that already have appropriate services such as sewers, roads, and water in place. That's great. But the best farmland is also often right around these centers. After all, the first European settlers that came here, they chose the most fertile land to clear for farming, with towns built next to these farms to supply and support the local agricultural economy. These towns provided the nucleus of future cities and thus ended up in building over the original best farmland as identified by these settlers. This growth has continued since Europeans moved in, with no plan in place to feed the millions already here and moving here from abroad. 80% of Ontario's prime agricultural land can be seen from the top of the CN Tower. Well, it used to be farmland. Municipal planners around the province have good intentions when drawing out the future of their local areas. However, they are hampered by provincial policy statements, and as we see, anything they come up with can be overturned by special interest groups just appealing to the ministers. Thinking outside the box has not encouraged, from what I can see, as farm after farm is stripped of its topsoil and relegated to the concrete jungle. Feeding our future is not in the cards. It is not a priority currently because we are not yet at a crisis level. Our children and grandchildren will probably not experience the food supply crisis. Do we have to wait until we get hunger pangs to recognize there's a problem? Look at our climate situation. Back in the 60s, we identified the greenhouse gases. That's what it's called down there, and the greenhouse effect. We ignored it. All of a sudden, we are at a crisis level and way too far into our bad habits to curb the disastrous outcomes of climate change. However, if we do act quickly, we can reverse some of the effects of overloading our atmosphere with these gases. Not so with land. Mark Twain was said, "Buy land and not making any more of it." So true. We cannot replace our southern Ontario modern climate and rich, fertile soils with northern Ontario Canadian Shield rock and cold. One of the frustrations my family and I have faced is the difficulty getting the agriculture message across to the general populace. We and farmers like us have offered tours of our farms with different emphasis on aspects of agriculture, from soil structure to crop production ranging from wheat to apples and land preservation. I applaud everyone here for attending today. But check out the demographic. We need a better cross-section of the ages. This type of event needs to be repeated over and over and over again until action is taken. Our schools, instead of sending out junior kindergarten to the farm, although this is a start, need to incorporate agriculture education into the curriculum. St. Mary's in Cobourg did this, and we were fortunate enough to have some of the students at our farm, and I would hope that some of the learning they got there stuck. In order for our next generations to find solutions, they have to know the limited resources we are dealing with and the effect that losing this resource will have. The most productive farmland in our county exists within a few miles of Lake Ontario. Some of these guys up north might argue that, but I might be a bit biased. This former lake bed has soils that are deep and fertile. The fields are also relatively flat, making it great to farm. You won't see many stone fences either. This flat, deep soil is also easy to build on, a characteristic not overlooked by developers. This is a prime example of an area that should be designated permanent agriculture. My family's farm is located on the outsides of Cobourg, just down the road, and its productivity has provided for multiple generations of Burnhams, and I hope for a few more. A local farm near us was sold a couple of months ago. Someone from the GTA bought it as an investment property with plans on selling it down the road to finance his retirement years. I don't blame him, but I'm pretty sure the next time it gets sold, it won't be in the range where a farmer could buy it. Unless, and here's the tingling and light bulb part of my presentation, I don't want to be all gloom and doom, I want to emphasize that all is not lost. We still have time to save what is left. The time for action, however, is now. Today, tomorrow, next week, a year from now, and you can see by those new those laws, we have to really put our foot down. Let's protect some farmland. For one, the best soil currently, any class 1, 2, or 3, and maybe 4, should sooner than later be zoned permanent agriculture. For clarification, some land, such as our own farm, is zoned permanent agriculture. That's a misnomer and needs to be corrected, as the land is only permanent ag until the town annexes it and decides it needs to expand for more subdivisions. This zoning does not stop growth. It only redirects it. Land not suitable for farming is still available for buildings and roads. Buildings can be built anywhere. Don't let anyone convince you otherwise. On the other hand, food can only be grown on specific soil types and in specific climatic zones. These zones don't change, and these zones are what we need to protect. Food is produced, people settle, economies thrive. We can have our cake and eat it too. This won't be an easy shift, and it won't be cheap. Policymakers and planners have to figure out how to relocate development, skip over farming areas, perhaps establish a commuter rail system, an example being the Great Rail System in Europe, to access more remote communities. We may also have to learn how to establish infrastructure like water supply and sewers on some pretty rough terrain. Would it not be a challenge for some engineers to develop these technologies? Ontario could be a leader here. Farmers have to be compensated for not selling to developers. In the late 80s, our local Soil and Crop Improvement Association visited Pennsylvania, and some of us in the room went on that trip. This state is rich in agriculture and has some populous areas as well. Their predicament was the same as ours. How do we preserve the farmland? They initiated a system of development easements. Basically, the state designated areas for permanent agriculture. The farmer, having lost that potential revenue, was paid an average of about $2,600 US per acre. Not a great sum, but a start. This land would now only be sold to future agriculture endeavors at market price with the $2,600 already in the farmer's pocket. I contacted the state of Pennsylvania last week, and they confirmed that they lead the U.S. in acres preserved at 626,000 acres on 6,231 farms at a cost of $1.6 billion U.S. It sounds like a lot of money, but when you consider our provincial budget, maybe just a drop in the bucket. Ontario could take a lesson from this. Another idea is for establishing parameters for future farm preservation / development is to establish a cross-party think tank to hammer out some of these details and priorities. This group would include politicians from all parties, bureaucrats, engineers, farmers, consumers, and planners, to name a few. Only by cooperating can we exact change, and change must happen either now or in the near future, because later does not work. In conclusion, we must all learn all we can about agriculture versus development debate. I challenge the local radio station, the CBC, and any other media to take this message to their listeners and readers. Everyone here, talk to farmers, talk to farm associations, learn more about it. Talk to your local decision makers face to face. None of this text stuff and none of this TikTok, because you need to talk to the faces and they need to tell you and look you in the eye and tell you what they will do for you. It's too easy to write something on paper and just slough it off. Let them know about your desires to keep our food supply as local as possible by ensuring our farmland is preserved. And talk to your family and friends. They need to know more about where their food comes from. Everyone is getting further and further removed from the farm as generations progress. Farm groups and farmers themselves often host farm tours or make themselves available for in-classroom discussions. Encourage your school board to support such endeavors. And to all farmers here and out there, support this learning wherever you can. The more people that hear our message, the more our industry will thrive and survive. Support government initiatives that support farmland preservations wherever and whenever. Condemn short-sightedness in our leaders. These are the actions all of us can take. Please help the momentum. What I'm saying here kind of sounds pie in the sky, kind of idealism, and yeah, it is. But the realism, the reality that exists, doesn't work. I thank you for listening and wish everyone the best.
That was Paul Burnham, Director of Northumberland Federation of Agriculture. This was recorded live. The event was titled The Importance of Protecting Farmland in Northumberland. It was hosted by the Northumberland Rural Coalition, and it involved the Northumberland Federation of Agriculture, and it was sponsored by Community Power Northumberland and the Small Change Fund. Thanks to the team of technicians who helped make this possible. We hope you will join us for the next episode of this series. I'm Robert Washburn for Northumberland 89.7 FM. Thanks for listening. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast, or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.